inside the box, which is a bit scary sometimes, all right? Sometimes you get outside the box, they kind of get back in again, and that's scary even more. So I'm going to tell you a little story. I don't want to hear this in a minute, but she's right. We've been to the conference, and we've come back absolutely supercharged. It wasn't what the conference did. It was what the Lord did in us. And we realized that we haven't been walking with the Lord for a while. He's been in us, but we haven't been walking the walk. We've been talking the talk, but not walking the walk. All right? So therefore, we're all talk. But we come back, and we're walking the walk. And it's absolutely amazing what's happening. But I'll tell you about that in a minute, too. Right. Okay. Everybody on this side, I want you to take a deep breath and go. Robbie, you did a good breath. Can you come out for a minute? All right. No, I shouldn't have done that, should I? All right. Okay. But even if it's a half breath, you're still going to come. All right. On this side. Come on. Ready? Yours. Definitely it. No doubt whatsoever. Okay. I was going to do that little bit on you about prophesying as well, but I'm not. All right. All I want you to do is to blow some bubbles. All right. Can you do that? All right. Ready? It's in there. Just stand over there so you don't get them on people's clothes, all right? And just step back. Okay, just keep blowing, all right? Don't stop, just keep blowing. Come on, continuous streams. Come on, just keep on blowing. Okay, while they're doing that, I'm just going to hand you some leaflets out, okay? And if you just take one and pass it around, keep blowing, all right? Just keep blowing, keep blowing. And where's my gear? Bolt the gear. Keep going. Keep blowing. Now, I want you to ask the Holy Spirit what he's saying to you with these bubbles. Can you do that? Just want you to ask the Holy Spirit what he means. What does that mean to you? All right? Now, very often, it's the first thing that comes into your head, and then you spend the next 10 minutes arguing against it, all right? So it's generally the first thing that comes into your head, which is the Holy Spirit speaking to you. Okay, guys, thanks, you can stop now. Okay, super. Thank you. Did you enjoy that?
I did.
Good. Did you enjoy that, Robbie?
Yes.
Okay. Really, I wasn't going to tell you this, probably maybe a little later on, but there's the tendency of telling you too much rubbishy stuff and not enough content. Edith and I made a pact in Ludlow, a beautiful town, that we were going to spend the first 10 minutes in bed every morning asking the Holy Spirit to have his way with us, show us who he wants to speak to, and every day we're going to try and tell somebody that we don't know about Jesus. And hopefully pray for them, hopefully heal if they need be healing, and then hopefully lead them to the Lord. All right. So we made that pact that every day we're going to do that. We bought a journal and we started off. And we went into Ludlow, beautiful town, absolutely wonderful place. And it was hot, which was strange because we had some awful weather. And there was an ice cream van there. And we went and said, do you fancy an ice cream? No, normally this says, no, I don't want any ice creams. But anyway, is there a bubble still up there? I saw your eyes were up there. Where is it? That must have some meaning. Think about that, all right? So I went to the ice cream man, and he says, how are you? I said, I'm great, thanks. How are you? Oh, I'm hassled to death, he says. Oh, I said, what's the matter? And he started giving me this whole big story about how things had been going wrong with his ice, and somebody had come along and was talking to him and distracting him, and it started icing him. And I know just what you need. I know just what you need. And Edith's looking at me, and I can see the glint in her eyes, and go for it. And you know what I said? An ice cream. I said, you need an ice cream. Where on earth did that come from? You know, how on earth did an ice cream come out to an ice cream seller to stop his hassling? Lord, I blew it. I blew it. You know, and this is the problem. Sometimes we do blow it. You know, he gives us an opportunity, and we just mess it up. And I said, Lord, I'm sorry. I really am sorry. I don't know where that came from. Give us another chance. So we packed up that night. We went to the next caravan site, which was 150 miles away. We parked up on the site, and no sooner had we arrived, we hadn't even chance to uncouple the caravan, Then the owner appeared out of nowhere. And within 2 seconds, we learned he had a catheter. He had a stone in his bladder that size. He had a neuroma that size covering it. He was in an awful state. It's an awful job getting it all. I said, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So we were able to pray with him and pray for healing. And I've got to ring him yet to find out how he did with the hospital. But every day since then, the Lord has given us an opportunity. If we are obedient, then he'll give us opportunities. But we've got to be walking with him. We've got to be in the walk. Anyway, I wasn't going to tell you that, but here we go. At least not later. Some weeks, probably months ago, I was doing a study of Titus, and there was a word came and stuck with me, and that word was appointed. And I didn't really think very much of it until I started reading other scriptures, and that word appointed kept coming up. And I thought, Lord, are you telling me something here? What is it that you're telling me? And so those of you here last time that I preached, you remember I did a bit on the sinful woman. It was a one-act, three-scene play. We did it as a play. This time we're doing it as a six-chapter booklet. And but we might not cover all the chapters this morning. We'll see. I might miss some out. And I started looking at, I did a word search on the Bible, and there was 155 references came up to the word appointment. Most of them in the Old Testament, but 29 of them in the New. And I started realizing that this word appointment didn't really fit the bill for the people that were appointed in the New Testament. So I started looking back and found really the root Greek word was tasso tato. And tasso tato, if that's how you pronounce it, gave two main roots, appointed and ordained. But there's a whole, there's others as well, like at the bottom of that first sheet, to invest officially, as with the laying on of hands, with ministerial or priestly authority, confer holy orders on, or by order or command. And I started looking at people in the Bible, and what I'm trying to do today is not take a passage of scripture and dissecting it and looking at it, but we're trying to develop a theme. Okay, so that's what we're trying to do today, to develop a theme. And we're looking at and explaining about anointing. So the New Testament, as far as I can see, the theme there is we've been appointed to go. Whereas in the Old Testament, they were appointing apostles, judges and prophets and gatekeepers and keepers of the tithe house and so on. But it appears that in the New Testament, everybody's being appointed to go because they have a job to do. And I was looking at by appointment, and I was thinking sort of laterally about by appointment. And the only thing I know about by appointment is by the royal by appointment. Now, did you know that if you have a royal appointment, a chart of royal appointment to provide things and you can advertise your services as by appointment to the throne or the kingdom, the sovereignty, it could only be by the monarch, the consort, and the next in line to the throne. And so that's the Queen, the Duke of Edinburgh, and the Prince of Wales. And I was having a look last night at some of the things that there's been royal warrants for. And the Queen, you can sort of gather sort of how they're living their lives on this, is car servicing and repair, computer software technology, maintenance, high-performance personal computers, IT hardware, manufacturers of horse grooming brushes and removals and storage. Duke of Edinburgh has only got 38 warrants, household goods and cleaning, hat making, photography, cosmetics, health and beauty. And the Prince of Wales, beers, whiskies and jewellery. All right, so it's an interesting sort of little side. But let's get back into where we're going. Chapter 1. In chapter 1, God appointed Jesus to go. So God appointed Jesus to go. Where did he appoint him to go? He appointed him to go to the cross. He appointed him to go to the cross to die for you and me. He appointed him to go to the cross to die for you and me so that our sins could be healed. He died on the cross so that his gift of the Holy Spirit could be given to us. And he died on the cross so that we could be appointed to have everlasting life and go to heaven. Amen? And he was given all authority and power to do his task. He then appointed 12 others. And if I like to turn to Mark 3:14, you'll see that Jesus called to him his disciples, and he appointed 12 of them and designated them as apostles. He actually designated them disciples and apostles because they were just followers at that time. And then similarly, in Luke 10:1-13, Jesus appointed 72 others. Now I want to look at these two pieces of scripture because there are great similarities between them. When he selected the 12 and he appointed them, he then sent them out. He sent them out to heal. He sent them out to proclaim the message of the kingdom. And he also did the same with the 72. Now, there's a bit interesting things about this. And that's really stirred me up. And the first one is that there were lots of others, but he only appointed 12. Now, there's so many biblical reasons why you could think of this, but it doesn't really matter what they are and whether they're right or not. He only appointed 12. He appointed 12. There were others. He only appointed 72. Now, you could say, well, he had 36 towns to go to, so therefore 36 times 2, because he's then multiplied by 2, that's 72. It doesn't really matter. He appointed 72 because they were the ones that could do the job that he had for them to do. And this was quite a revelation to me, really, because until this morning, I was bombing along on this route. Until the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, yeah, but there's others. I've only appointed 72 because I know they could do the job. You see, I've always been of the opinion that spreading the word was a responsibility of us all. I've always been the opinion that all of us have to go out there. All of us have to preach the word. All of us have to lay hands on people. But the Lord's saying to me, no, I've appointed the ones that I know that can do the job. They're the ones that I'm giving the responsibility to go out. Now, he's asking them, and he'd be asking us as well, to step out of our comfort zone. Edith was out of her comfort zone. I was out of my comfort zone when I started praying with people. Going on the streets is one thing because there's a crowd of you. But when there's two of you, it's a different kettle of fish. And I can imagine that these 72 were saying, oh, not me, Lord, just as Edith was. No, not me. Let it be somebody else. Let it be somebody else. You know, I don't. But he said, no, I want you to go. I want you to go. And he said, not only are you going to go, but I'm not going to let you have any money either. And not only are you going to go and not have any money, but you're not going to have anything to wear. You're just going to go as you stand up. And not only are you not going to go have anything to wear, you can have your sandals because you're going to be walking a lot, but you can't have any accommodation. You've got to find somewhere to stay. And not only that, you're going to find that the job's too big for you because there's going to be more people that you can cope with. So you're going to have to pray to the Lord of the harvest that whoever he sends you, that you will convert, that you will preach the word to them, that they will then be laborers in the harvest field. Because the harvest field is there. See, I've dropped into this mistake so many times myself when I'm praying for laborers to come and help us in the harvest field, but we're not doing it ourselves. We're expecting other people to come in and do it for us. And the Lord is saying, no, I want you to go out there and I want you to convert the people into laborers so that they can help you in the harvest field. So they went out and they did what they had to do. And they came back elated and full of joy, saying that even the demons obeyed them. And the Lord said, I even saw Satan falling out of heaven when this happened. So Jesus appointed the 12 and he appointed the 72. He also appointed Paul. Paul was the right man to do the job that Jesus wanted to do. He appointed Paul to go to the Gentiles. He appointed Paul, because despite all of his past, despite everything that had happened, he appointed Paul because he was the right man to take the gospel out to the Gentiles. And he said, go. And as you know, Paul went on his journeys. He appointed Paul and Barnabas as elders and told them to go. He appointed Paul and Barnabas to go to Jerusalem to solve a problem. And then if we turn to chapter 4, where we come in, he's appointed us to go. And if we just turn to John 15, see, one of the problems that we can have is taking a verse out of context and building something up around it. And one of the problems we can do as well is we can take a chapter out of context and do. John 15 is part of five chapters where Jesus, realizing that the end is near. The first words in chapter 13. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. So for the next three chapters, 14, 15, 16, and 17, Jesus is sitting down with his disciples and telling them what's going to be expected of them when he's gone. And in the middle of that is chapter 15. And we'll start at verse 4. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. See, when he sent the 12 out, they could do nothing on their own. When he sent the 72 out, we could do nothing on our own. When he sent me into Ludlow, I tried to do it on my own and I failed. I didn't go to him. I wasn't praying to him while this man was telling me his woes. I wasn't saying, Lord, what do you want me to do about this issue? What is the reality of this situation in front of me? What is the reality, Lord? What is it that you want for this man? What is it that you want me to do for this man? Lord, tell me something about this man. I wasn't doing any of that. I was trying to be funny, trying to be flippant with this guy. That's how it came out. Didn't intend to be. You can't do it on your own. He's there to help. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, and whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. You see, I have problems with this, because, again, so many people take that verse out of context and say that whatever you wish, ask the Lord, and it will give it to you. This is in context, in relation to being in him and him being in you. And if you're having problems, you've got to go to him and say, Lord, I need your help. I need your help. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. This is to us folks as well as to them. Fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. And again, it's in relation to bearing fruit. This is my command, love each other. Now this section has been preached, I don't know how many hundreds and hundreds of times, and there's no way today in the last few minutes that we're going to even attempt to pick that out. There's just two things I would say that came to me, really, is that Jesus is preparing them. He's preparing his disciples. Four times in those passages, he tells them about the Holy Spirit that's going to be a gift to them. You see, at this particular moment in time, they have not got the Holy Spirit. So therefore, the fruits that they're talking about in the early part of that chapter cannot be the fruits of the Spirit. They have to be fruity. We've got to be fruity ourselves to bear fruit with others. And what I'm looking at this, I may be wrong, but what I'm looking at this is that there's two parts to this. The first thing is ourselves. We've got to be fruity ourselves, and we can only do that from Jesus. The second part is that we have to take that and go and bear fruit. So we've got to take our fruit to bear more fruit. So this last part, the way I read it, is that the instruction on us is to go into the harvest field and bear fruit. Not just bear fruit, bear much fruit. Can I ask you, what did you get? What did you think about the bubbles? What did you think? Tell me what you saw. What did you think? What did you saw? What did you see? What did the Lord tell you? All right.
Go to the bath and fill with the bubble bath.
All right.
And
okay.
You go fresh and clean.
All right.
And
okay.
Smell nice.
All right. Okay. Fine. Anybody else? Yeah.
The bubble that was on the roof.
Yeah.
I was waiting for it to come back.
Right.
Because I felt the Lord saying that his word doesn't change the
void. Void. Okay. Good one. Lift you higher. Okay, fine.
Hard work
on the behalf of the people who are blowing the bubbles. Okay. So it's hard work. Yeah? Bubbles don't last. Okay, so the fruit that doesn't last.
The same thing, actually. Also, don't just look at big bubbles, because the big bubbles last
okay.
Shorter than the small ones.
Okay, well, that's interesting. I thought somebody might say, well, some people live in bubbles. Like the Whitehall bubble, you know? But really, I was hoping that would represent the harvest field. There's a harvest out there. That's the harvest field. So what you're saying here that we have to go and bear fruit. Now then, going back to that first point that I've made, and this is where I've got to be open and honest with you that the Holy Spirit blew this sermon away with me this morning, because at 9:10, he revealed something to me that actually just shot big holes in what I was going to preach this morning, which is what I admitted to you earlier, which I felt that he's saying that all of us have a responsibility to preach the word, to heal the sick, and to tell people about Jesus. And what he's saying is, no, not everybody is. We need him, but not everybody is. And I feel, oh Lord, that was for the disciple. It is for some people, but not for everybody. So those who are walking with the Lord and are fruity, and he is in them, then they are the ones to go and bear fruit. And if we skip lastly, quickly, over to, I'll leave a big chunk out here. If we go to Acts 2, 38 to 47. People heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for you who are all far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. See, this is really a continuation from what we've just been looking at in John 15. This is a continuation of the conversation that Jesus was having with his disciples, saying, "I'm about to go, I'm about to leave you, but I'm sending you my Holy Spirit. If I don't go, you can't have it, and if you can't have him, then all this will be to no avail." So this little section here, all of chapter 2 is all about the continuation from that talk about going and bearing fruit. And he goes on to say, "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." See, that last sentence, sometimes it's a bit of a cop-out for us. Oh, well, the Lord will add to our numbers. The Lord will add to our church. The Lord will help us to grow. But that last few words was those who were being saved. That's our job. Our job is to go to preach the word, preach the gospel. The power of the gospel is the same today as it ever was. We've got to, and it's those who have been appointed to do that, those who are drawn to do that, that those who feel that the Holy Spirit is leading them that way are the ones that need to go and preach the word and to save people. Once people are saved, then the Lord will bring them into church. And bring them into church and into fellowship is the fruit that lasts. If you notice, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe. Many wonders, miraculous signs were done. All the believers were together and had everything in common. The question that I have for you today is, what are we going to do about it? You know, it's not important whether we have a big church or a small church, as long as we have a healthy church. It's important that we have a healthy church. A healthy church, by definition, is not a one that's ailing or sick. A healthy church is a church that's growing. A child that doesn't grow is sick. A child that doesn't grow, there's something wrong with it. We're children of God. We've got to grow. This church has got to grow. Why are we not growing? This church at one time or another died. We are in a dead church. This church was dead for 20 years. It was a vibrant church. It was an amazing church. People were bussed in from the coast. They were queuing up Edward Road for the doors to open on a Sunday night. This church had a reputation right throughout the whole area. People were being saved left, right, and center. Why did it die? Why did it die? I can only imagine it's because they took their eyes off Jesus. You can get so involved in the healing aspect or the preaching aspect or the whatever aspect that it is, but everything that we do should point to Jesus. Everything that we do should point to Jesus. Everything that this church does should point to Jesus. If he's in us, he's got to come through us. So I'm going to ask you the question today. Who'll stand with us? All right? Who feels as though the Holy Spirit is prompting them this morning to speak to more people? Who feels that they could join us in spending the first 10 minutes of every day open to the Holy Spirit? Show us who you want to talk to today and to try to speak to somebody about Jesus every day. Who will join us this morning, just for a month? Who will join us? Yeah. You see, it's so important that we do this. I can't appoint you to do that. The Holy Spirit can appoint you to do it by speaking into your heart as he's done this morning. It's a simple thing to do. We just have to have the courage which he'll give us. We have to have the boldness that he'll give us. Anything that we need to know, he'll give us. All that we've got to do is to be obedient. All that we've got to do is to be obedient. We've got to ask him to give us the situation and have the sensitivity to know when he has actually put that situation in front of us. And then to act upon it. You see, although I made a mess of it with the ice cream man, I was obedient by doing it. I've been following ladies around in bright blue trousers and yellow shirts with buckles on the belt and blonde hair for the last 3 days, asking them if their name's Jane. And I haven't found her yet, but I will find her. All right? The Holy Spirit the other day gave me blue trousers, yellow top, blonde hair, broad belt, big buckle, something to do with Jane and a mother who's ill. And I'm on a church treasure hunt. This is what I tell them. Look, I'm on a church treasure hunt, and I think you're the treasure. And I'll show them the bit of paper. And there was one girl just yesterday and next. And she said, isn't that lovely? No, it's not me. But she was so receptive to it, you know. And it's just such an easy way to do it because, you know, do you know anybody called Jane, you know? Isn't that lovely that you're doing that? So people are generally receptive, but we've got to honour that. We've got to step out and do it, okay? So let me have a show of hands again of those who are prepared to do this. And we'll do it for a month, all right? We'll do it for a month where every morning before we switch the radio on, before we're filled with negative stuff, before we're filled with all the problems of the day, all right, let's open our hearts to Jesus. The Holy Spirit, help me today. Help me to bring the people that you want me to speak to today. Help me, Lord, to not just tell them about you, but lead them to you, because we don't want to leave them at the signpost. If I'm the signpost pointing to Jesus and I'm meeting them here, I don't want to go away and leave them here. I've actually got to take them to where the signpost's pointing. Okay? We'll do it for a month. We'll do it for a month. We'll do it any way that the Holy Spirit is telling you to do it. All right? Keep a journal. What you've done. Who you've prayed for. What happened. Did you lead them to the Lord? Was it, you know? Anything that the Holy Spirit has told you about that person, write it down in your journal. Let's do it. Okay? Let's have a show of hands again, the people who are going to do this. Okay. Right. In month's time, okay, we'll have a session where we'll just come together and we'll collate this and we'll be like the 72 that came back so excited, full of joy, that they actually, you know, demons had succumbed to them, purely being healed, purely being led to the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Father, for this word this morning. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that even though it's nothing like what it was that you're supposed to be going to put forward, Lord, that the words were to come are the words that you wanted. And, Father, that the words which you didn't want, Lord, have been left in the book. And the words that you've heard that are not of his word, that is not going to take root in you, that are soon forgotten. Father, I just thank you. I thank you, Father, for these people this morning who said, yes, I'm prepared to stand. I thank you, Father, that people have said, yes, I felt a movement in my heart. I felt my heart move that I want to go out and be part of this. I want to speak to people. I want to take your word to people. I want to bring the power of God to these people, the power of the word. Father, I just thank you, Father. Father, I pray a blessing upon them. I pray a blessing, Father, that your word will stay in them, that you will walk with them, Father. You are in them, but Father, that they will walk with you. And Father, I pray for courage and I pray for boldness. Father, I pray for all the gifts that's at your disposal to give to people, Father. And Father, I pray for a harvest here. I pray for a harvest. Father, I pray for a harvest, Father. Father, this church needs a harvest. Father, we're not a dying church, but Father, we're not growing. Father, we need a harvest. And Father, we are the harvest. We are going to be the laborers and the harvesters, Father. So I thank you this morning, Lord. Father, I pray your blessing upon it right now in the name of Jesus. Amen.